in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who was from the land of Israel. Then the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel and said, now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. And it happened, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariots, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious. He went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Par, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him. And he said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Hallelujah. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. May the Lord be pleased with the hearing, reading, understanding, living out of his word. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to put a tag on this text. I want to choose this morning as a subject from which to preach. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. Join me, brothers and sisters, for a word of prayer. Let's pray together. Be pleased, our Heavenly Father, again, God, to hear our prayer. God, we enter your gates with thanksgiving, your courts with praise. We are grateful unto you, Lord. We bless your name. For God, you are good. Your mercy is everlasting. Your truth endures to all generations. God, I pray now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of you, most high, holy, and living God. Father, would you right now please remove every distraction. Help us to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto you, Jesus, for you are the author and the finisher of our faith. God, would you allow now the seed of the gospel to find good soil in us and produce much fruit. I pray, God, that you would save, that you would heal, that you would strengthen, that you would deliver, that you would set free. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray it and we say thank you. Amen. Some of you will recognize, Jerry will recognize this, Anthony Kinchon will recognize this, the language, know the lyrics. The musical licks, if I can use that language, Anthony, from this song from years ago. Gary, here it is. The song is a woman and a man embraced in a relationship, and watch how they rap, know how they speak to one another. Here we go. Here I am. There you are. We've been sitting here for so long. You and I touching each other's hearts, wondering if we should get it on, refrain, or should I just walk away with nothing to say, or take a chance on romance. Here comes the brother in his high falsetto. Oh, girl, tell me, where do we go? Come close from here. I can't help but wonder, and I know you do as well, whether we talk about it, Kev, Sister Kev's mother, whether we talk about it in church, or whether we talk about it on our trek to work, am I alone, or have you too wondered, where do we go from here. You can't really yet say amen, I suppose, because we're living in two different worlds. We are all living in a sense of duplicitousness. What do I mean? I mean two worlds. I mean a duo situation where we come to church, many of us on Sunday mornings virtually are in person. And I pray that those who are virtual will begin to drip and to fall into worship in the sanctuary. But now watch this now. The church world seems to be living in one world while the world is living in another. There's a duality. There's a duplicitousness. There are two worlds. There are two places where we're living. But brothers and sisters, watch this now. Let's tell the truth of the matter. When we're in the church sanctuary or when we're out in the world in that situation, all of us have to ask ourselves the question, where do we go from here? Pastor, what are you talking about from here? From here with the craziness and the chaos that is really become almost now too much like the norm. How many of us just yesterday read or really or saw and seen on TV, watch this now, situation after situation, circumstance after circumstance, where man after man and woman after woman and boy after boy and girl after girl, watch this now, are having to deal with the trials and the tribulations, no, the trouble that come along with just being alive in 2021. I'm going beyond COVID. I'm talking about character. Robert, I'm going beyond the crises. I'm talking about you and I and how we get along. No, how we don't get along with one another. I'm not talking about red, yellow, black, or white, because all of us are precious in God's sight. Let's tell the truth of the matter as it relates to all of us having to deal with the strain and the struggle and just all the emotional upheaval that's going on. Did you miss it yesterday or did you catch it yesterday? Right there in Central Phoenix. No, let's tell it all the way true in South Phoenix, right there at East Lake Park. Did y'all see that scene and situation that was blasted all over social media, particularly on the book called Face, the Face called Book? Maybe you saw it. Maybe you saw that scene, that situation where some men who were dressed up, watch this now, as white knights. Do I need to go any further with white knights? I mean, they came all the way down to East Lake Park. You're not shouting yet because you don't know where East Lake Park is. East Lake Park is in South Phoenix. You don't know where South Phoenix is. South Phoenix is the hood. It's not T-H-E-H-A-H-O-O-D. It's D-A-H-O-O-D. It's in the hood. It's where brothers and sisters of color tend to not only live but gather. And so East Lake Park is the place where they go to play basketball. East Lake Park is the place where they go to just kind of hang out, as it were, with the homies. Did you see that scene, situation, just yesterday on the news, yesterday, last night? Watch this now. It aired last night, but it took place earlier in the afternoon. And here are the white knights walking down the street. I mean, fully garbed up, fully ready. I mean, in military garb and in military gear. And they're embracing and they're engaging people who don't look like them, and then the people who don't look like them began to engage them. There's a back and forth. There's a brother in some red sneakers. Come close, Mike. There's a brother in some red shorts. Come close, Mike. There's a brother in red. Deacon Bill Warren knows what I'm talking about. He's on his horn. What is his horn? His mouth. They're going back and forth. They're coming back at one another. The police are called in. All of this is on Facebook Live. Why? Because all of us have phones, and most people now, when they see anything that's halfway crazy, they go on Facebook Live. But hold it. Then we have the case of the Chauvin trial that just was going on last week. The jury, what, gets that on Monday. Then we have the case the other day. Y'all saw the mass shooting that happened in a high school just a few states away from us. I hear that someone said it's somewhere like unto the 44th shooting of that nature in these yet-to-be United States of America. Brothers and sisters, I know y'all, many of y'all don't like it when I talk like this, but the reality of the situation is that our world is sick, 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 but yet pastors go around calling each other doctor, doctor, doctor. Understand this, that us as doctors, we as doctors, we as people of the faith, we don't have the remedy for what ails our nation. We as individuals do not have that, but we do have something on the inside that works on the outside that can bring about a change in all of our lives. We have to admit it and not ignore the fact that our world is crazy. Our world is chaotic. Our world is not kind to Christians. Our world doesn't like us being of different colors. Our world doesn't like the fact that you and I are living in the place and trying to exist in the space where we're experiencing the Lord Jesus Christ, hold it, and we're sharing the Lord Jesus Christ, hold it, by the way we live, hold it, not just on Sunday morning, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We need to understand that God has called us to be Christians, not just one day of the week, but seven whole days. God needs a word from us to go out into the world that is the world, to go out into the world that testifies about who he is. Here we are now. Here we are now. Here we are now. Second Kings. Second Kings. Watch the context of this. Second Kings. Let me give you the context in the first place. Second Kings comes after First Kings. And all that really means is that there's two books. Watch this now. First Kings and Second Kings. And it tells us the plight and the pilgrimage and what went on in the personal lives of the nation of Israel, and particularly during the season of what? Kings. When we come to the book of 2 Kings, and then we look at 2 Kings, here we are again, chapter 5. Watch it with me, brothers and sisters. 2 Kings, chapter 5, we run into a brother who is very much like unto, and maybe you'll see the link and the lesson, or maybe you'll see the connection to last week's message dealing with at second worship, last week's message at second worship, dealing with, watch this now, those men who were lepers. And watch this same sickness that is saddening, that is sorrowful, that we see not just in the New Testament, but we see it also in the Old Testament. Here's the scene. The Bible says there's a man. His name is Naaman. He's commander of the army of the king. Watch verse 1. The Bible says he was a great man and honorable in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but Naaman, rich, famous, does his job well, promoted, he's close to the king. God gives him victory over Syria. All of this is going on. He's a man of standing. He's a man who is, watch this now, he has resources. And then the Bible says this about Naaman, but he was a leper. I know all of us, we'd like to brag and boast and make big all of our wonderful accomplishments, but all of us has a but. All of us have a but. It doesn't matter who you are. Listen, the praise team was on today. I was loving Deanna, particularly in that hat and that look. I was like, go on, Deanna, with your hat on. Go on, Deanna. Deanna was doing the thing. She had her hat on. She was doing all she's doing. She, beautiful smile, good singer. Then I saw, oh, Sheila. Watch this now. 1, 2, 3. I know she loves the Lord, honestly. And so Sheila got up and she was leading that thing. And then I saw Angie, said, I'm going to take a break on the left. And so Angie is on the left and she's really on the right. If you're watching on camera, and Angie said, I'm not going to sing leading until Jesus come again, because my voice is T-I-R to the E to the double D. And then Mike is in the back and he's doing his thing. All of them look good on the stage, but I promise you, Michael and Deanna and Sheila and Angie got a butt. I promise you that all of us, no matter how we look or how we sound, we all have some situations that cause us to be reminded that while we are living and serving a holy God, we all have a butt that makes us humble. Can everybody here just admit, everybody just say out loud, I got a butt. Thank you. Thank you, saints. Listen, now, I don't need to know what your butt is. In fact, I don't want to know what your butt is. And I ain't going to tell you what my butt is. But understand that if we're living and if we're breathing, we are doing well in some things, and Reverend Samuel, not so well in others. And so Naaman, here he is. He's doing well, but he's a leper. He's commander of the king's army, but he's a leper. He is one who received victory through the hand of God over the nation of Syria, but he is a leper. Our world is something else. And I know we got this going on. I know we have a new president in these yet to be United States of America. And did I vote for Biden? I absolutely, positively, online saints did. And I would do it again, given the two choices. Understand that. That's my situation. But get this now, brothers and sisters. Even though we got a new president, listen, he will never be the permanent resident of your heart and mind. What we need to do is put our trust and our faith in God and not in a human being. Is God is the only one who can take a crooked stick and hit a straight lick. God is the only one who can stand flat-footed and tiptoe at the same time. God is the only one who can pitch the ball to himself, hit the ball with the bat, knock it out of the park, and make himself come home safe and sound. God is the only one who can do anything except fail. He's the only one who deserves our faith and our loyalty. Naaman is a leper. Can I say this, that all of us have leprosy? Maybe we don't have leprosy of the flesh, but we have leprosy of the faith. Maybe we don't have leprosy in our skin, but we've got leprosy in our hearts. All of us suffer from a type of leprosy. What is leprosy? I'm glad you asked. Y'all are asking all the right questions. Leprosy was a disease, watch this now, that once shone, once to Tao, it got Alderson's on the inside of the body. It infected the body to the point that it, watch this now, affected how the body functioned and what the body looked like. Let that rest. Leprosy got on the inside and affected what the body looked like. Watch this now, how the body looked and how the body functioned. It got on the inside. Leprosy was immediately apparent by skin. A person who contracted leprosy, you would know that they were a leper immediately because their skin would begin to turn colors. Why am I hearing Michael Jackson in my head? It doesn't matter if you're black or white. Come on, Michael. Come on. I know some of y'all don't like Michael Jackson. You believe about Mike what you want to believe about Mike, but remember, you're a leper. Remember, all of us have some leprosy. Michael Jackson and Naaman both had leprosy, and you and I have it too. It gets on the inside. It affects the skin. I mean, why am I hearing the voice, watch this, of the Reverend Dr. Emil Maconan Thomas? Why am I hearing the voice of the Reverend Dr. Emil Maconan Thomas, one of my best buddies, one of my best friends on the planet? Reverend Dr. Emil Maconan Thomas preached a sermon. It's in his book. Watch this now, Preaching for Black Self-Esteem. I'm putting a plug in for that. You ought to pick that up at Amazon, Preaching for Black Self-Esteem by Emil M. Thomas. Watch this now. Now, in that sermon, in that book, Emil has a sermon titled The Skin I'm In. It just comes to me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It just comes to me. Not even in my notes for the sermon. The skin I'm in. What a great text. He preaches it from a passage in Jeremiah. Here's what the passage says. Can a leopard change his spots? Preach, Emil. Watch this, brothers and sisters. All of us have spots. All of us want to change our spots, but we're unable to change our spots until we go to the spot maker. Naaman is a leper. And it is immediately apparent because the skin begins to change. Isn't it crazy that leprosy shows up on the outside in a location that we cannot hide every inch of? Even if you were an Indian, come on, ladies, and you had on the headdress where we only saw your eyes, leprosy, watch this now, was so tough that it can cover an eyelid. He could go across the bridge of the nose. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Pastor, I got my leprosy. I'm going to hide mine. Listen, you can't hide from God, and we can't hide from self. So even if no one else knows, you know that God knows, and you know that you know. And leprosy on the outside affects my mentality on the inside, which impacts my gait where I'm going. The way I walk, the way I stroll. There's something about someone with confidence, the way they just walk in the room. Any of y'all ever see anybody who just walks in the room and you say, I don't know who that is, but they just look like they're somebody? I have a pastor friend of mine who was like that to me. Pastor friend of mine who was also the first pastor I ever sat under when I moved to Arizona from Northern California. Again, NorCal is better than SoCal, but it's all good in the hood, and so we understand that. Now, what is his name? James Nathaniel Preston. James Nathaniel Preston is the owner-operator of Preston Funeral Home, along with his wife, Irene Preston. Say what you will about James Preston. There's something about James Preston. First of all, he's from Rochester. Mike, he's from Rochester. He's from New York, but there's something about his presence. He walks in, people say, I don't know who that is, but here goes somebody. He'll have on his fedora, he'll have on his suit, his buttoned. He'll have on his cufflinks and his monogram shirt. And it's not just the clothes, it's the stroll. It ain't just the stroll, it's the swag. It ain't just the swag, it is the spirit of the man. He just walks in like he owns the building. And he may not own that building, although he does own some other buildings, Pastor Preston, I'm putting you out there. Now, get this, brothers and sisters. There's something about him on the inside that affects, watch this now, infects, watch this now, impacts whatever he puts on his body on the outside. It ain't the clothes that make the man. It's the man that makes the clothes. It's not the high-heeled shoes that make the woman. No, it's the woman that makes the high-heeled shoes. Y'all ever see one woman with an LV and another woman with a Gucci and another woman with an MK, and it looks different on each and every one? It's the way that they carry it, not the way it carries them. Leprosy on the outside began showing up as spots, white spots, just all over the body, white spots. I ain't got time to visit this again, but see me, visit with me if you can on Wednesday. Watch this as we continue our walk through the book of Genesis. But you'll remember, and this is appropriate now to say this now, how white knight personalities and other people try to push and promote that when Cain was cursed, Old Testament, this is Genesis, which is why I'm remembering it now. People say that he was cursed with dark skin. Never anywhere in your Bible. Testing 1, 2. Never anywhere in your Bible. Does it ever show anyone being cursed, watch this now, by God, watch this now, with, or watch this now, dark skin? They were all already dark skinned. And God pulled up, watch this now, he created Adam and Eve from the dust of the ground. Red. They look more like natives than they did anything else. They were red skinned. Those same people who were already on this continent when other people from across the pond came over here and then tried to claim it for themselves. How do you kick somebody off of their own property, claim it for yourself, then put them in a restroom called a reservation and tell them to behave themselves? I know y'all, some of y'all, they turning me off online now. They come back now, come back. Naaman has white spots. It's one thing to be able to cover and camouflage and conceal, but how do you do that with your flesh? How do you do it? You cannot cover every microscopic piece of your body so as to cover the sickness. I hope y'all are hearing me. We're sick with sin, and sin shows up. And we cannot hide sin from God or ourselves. And the truth of the matter is we really can't hide it from society, at least not from those who are in the spirit. We cannot hide sin from society, ourselves, the sovereign Savior, or anyone else, because the truth of the matter is that it shows up on the outside because it's already infected us on the inside. He has it all together on the outside. And so Naaman, watch what he does. Look what the verse says. The Bible says in verse 2 that the Syrians had gone out on raids. They brought back a young captive girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who was in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. And Naaman, verse 4, went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus the girl from the land of Israel said. Verse 5, then the king of Syria said, go now and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, now be advised when this letter comes to you that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. Brothers and sisters, one of the reasons why we haven't been healed of our leprosy situation is because we're going to the king instead of the King of Kings. We're going to the secular instead of to the sacred. We're going to the human instead of to the holy. This king gets this letter from the other king saying, listen, my servant is coming. I need you to heal him. This king says, what is he talking about? Am I God? Let me raise this question. Has anyone else here besides me ever gone to a human for some help when the only one who could help you is the Holy? Anyone here besides me ever gone to a friend How many of us have them? Come on now. Friends, y'all know I'm going to do it. Ones we can depend on, who? Friends. How many of us have them? Friends. Can I go all the way? A friend is a word we use every day. But most of the time we use it in the wrong way. Now, you can look the word up again and again, but the dictionary doesn't know the meaning of friend. And if you ask me, you know, I couldn't be much help because a friend's somebody you judge for yourself. Some okay and they treat you real cool, and some mistake your kindness for being a fool. You like to be with some because they're funny. Others come around when they need some money. Some we grew up with around the way, and we're still real close to this very day. Who are they? Homeboys, homegirls through the summer, winter, spring, and fall. Then there's some friends we wish we never knew at all. Now, you can look the word up again and again, but the dictionary doesn't know the meaning of friend. Angie's the only one in my generation. She's the only one with me. Angie ain't singing, but she's rapping with me in church right now. She's the only one. How many of us have ever gone to a friend, watch this, or even to a foe to try to get our fix when we need to go to the Father? They go and they write this letter to the king, and the king says, man, this guy is trying to start a war with me. He's calling me God. He wants me to heal his servant. He's picking a war with me. Watch what can happen in miscommunication. The intent from the slave girl from Israel is this. Go to the prophet. Not to another person, to the prophet. When they finally make their way to the prophet, watch what happens. Elisha, I'm going down to verse 8. So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel tore his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me. And he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Brothers and sisters, let's work on healing leprosy by not getting our wires crossed. If you send the letter to the president, make sure the president passes it on to the person. In this case, the prophet, who can produce on behalf of God. Too many of us go to friends. That's one of our challenges. We live on social media. We want more likes than we want the Lord. We want more buddies or friends or whatever it is. What is on Instagram and what is it? Pick you or poke some Pokemon. I don't know what it is. There's something with a P. And then there's Twitter, then there's YouTube, and we want a like over here, we want a buddy over there. Isn't it funny that we call people friends on Facebook that we've never met in our lives? If they were to walk up to you on the street and hit you in the jaw, give you a hug or a handshake, or give you $1 million, you wouldn't know them from Adam or Annalise, because we just have never met them, yet we call them friends. How many of us, through miscommunication, have ever been messed up by a miscommunicated text? If you're like me, boy, I text with one thumb. And I will mistype, mistext. I'm going to leave that alone. I'm not going to tell that story no more, Deacon Warren. I will mistext, mistype, as I did the men of our church years ago. Listen, how many of you have ever had yourself been the recipient of someone else when, after they send the text, they say, oops, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to send that. Spell check kicks in or does not kick in. You're texting one word and another word pops up. In this case, the letter comes to the king. The king, instead of immediately passing it on to the prophet, puts a burden on himself that is not his to carry. Many of us are carrying burdens that are not yours to carry. The king finally gets a letter to the prophet, Elisha, verse 8. Elisha says, give it to me. I'll let him know there's a God in Israel. Let me tell you why God does whatever God does whenever God does what God does. God does what he does whenever God does what God does, because God is God, and he always has his glory in mind and not yours. Amen. And not mine. The Bible says that the one thing God will not share is his glory. He says, I will not share my glory with another. Let me just say this hot off the press. And I hope you all will watch this later. Now watch this. Do you know what got Lucifer kicked out of heaven? An attempt to steal God's glory. The word glory is that word doxa. It's doxazo. It is the idea to make large. Watch this. God says, I will not share my glory with anyone. There's a king in the book of Daniel who thought he was God. Somebody looked at him. The Bible says he got all dressed in his garb. He had on sparkling clothes that the sun began to reflect off those shiny pieces and portions of his outerwear. And someone said, oh, he looks like a god. Can you look like a god? And the Bible says that the king received that as praise. And in that same instant, God caused him to get on his knees, not be able to speak. And he crawled out into the wilderness and began to eat grass. He lost his mind because he took, he accepted praise and glory that belonged to God. Can you imagine the king? Y'all think I'm making this up. This is in Daniel now. And he goes on his hands and his knees. And the Bible says he stays there and he grows out, his nails grow like claws. He's eating grass like one of the beasts of the field. And then he comes to himself, and God says, you got it now? Yeah. You understand? Yeah. I'm God. Yeah. You're not. Yes, sir. I apologize. Get up. Now, don't do it again. Because God will not share his glory. Maybe if there's a problem in church, it's the fact that many of us want his glory. Maybe we want to enlarge ourselves. If there's a problem in the world, we know this for true, for true, for true, for true. It's that the world wants all the glory. I love, but then I loathe award shows. And I know y'all saying, Passport, you going. And watch this. I don't care. I'm going. I know I'm going. Watch this now. I love and I loathe award shows. I like the entertainment, but I don't like when they choose somebody. Because it makes the other people feel a certain kind of way, I imagine. I really don't like them for children. I understand, well, children need to understand that there's a first place, second place, third place. Not with God. You're always first place. You're always first position. And I know I watch some of them. I ain't watched them in a long time, but I watch them. I loathe them because we're always seeking one-upmanship. Well, this one sings better than that one. That one's outfit was nicer than that one. Well, this one's makeup was more flawless. Well, that one's suit was on fire. Hold on. Let me use my word again. That brother right there was volcano. That's my word. Y'all going to pick it up in year 2092. Y'all going to pick it up. That's my word. Volcano. This man, Naaman, comes to the prophet. I'm done now. The prophet says to him, listen. It's what you need to do. You need to go wash. Wash this. He says, I need you to go wash, this is now verse 10, in the Jordan 7 times. And your flesh is going to come back like new. Don't become so arrogant that you miss your blessing. Naaman says, I need to do what now? And remember, when Naaman leaves, Naaman comes with gifts. Because we always seem to think, that we have to pay our way to a healing, or that we need to give our way to a gathering, or that we need to somehow compensate the one who is doing the work, humanly speaking, with some kind of accoutrement. I like that word. I just like saying that. Some kind of dough, some kind of loot, some kind of cash, some kind of dinero, $100 bills, y'all, if you were from. Leave it alone, Sherman, where I'm from. Then you would know. It's a lot of us who think we have to compensate for what God does in some kind of compensatory monetary way. Naaman leaves home with treasures to pay the one that's going to heal him, so he believes, from his leprosy. Watch what the verse says. The prophet says, hey, go wash. Look at this now. 7 times in the Jordan. And your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. Look at verse 11. Naaman was furious. Verse 11 says, Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord. Watch this now. Stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Naaman was offended on several fronts. Number one, the prophet, Elisha, said, tell him to come to me. And Naaman said, well, he's going to come to me. No, Jack, you're the one who needs the healing. You come to me. Secondly, when Elisha says, go wash in the Jordan, Naaman is really mad now. He says, the Jordan? That nasty river, the Jordan? You're not talking about the Jordan. Watch what he says. He says, surely there are greater rivers than this one. And then Naaman goes on to name the rivers. I can tell you all, when I was in Israel, both times, I both baptized people and was baptized in the river. My friend, Dr. Emil Thomas, refused to get in the water. Robin, he refused to get in the water. Why? He's from Jamaica. And so he's used to these beautiful azure blue waters. And so when we got to the Jordan River, I'm talking about the Jordan now, it's in the text. When we got to the Jordan River, we're going to get baptized. We go in the back, we change, da-da-da. And then Emil sees it. And then our guide tells us what's going on with the Jordan. He said, well, right now it's a little stagnant. It's a little still. It's a little stale. It's a little stanky. And so all of us like, listen, we're only in Israel, you know, this may be our last time, we don't know, so we're going to go get in it. And Emil stood at the rail, and he bent over the rail. Y'all can see an iron rail up on a hill, and he's bending over the rail, and he says, I'm not getting in that. Y'all have to know, Dr. Tom, he says, sure, Doc, you go ahead, I'm not getting in that. I was baptized in the States. I only baptized in the Jordan. I'm not getting in that because it was stinky. It was stale. It was almost still. They were doing some work to get it to flow because that which does not move becomes stinky and stale. And so what does he do in this passage? Come close now. And Naaman says, man, I ain't getting the Jordan. He doesn't Emil Thomas. He says, I'm not going to get in the Jordan. Surely there are other rivers, several other rivers that are better than this one. And then watch what happens. Naaman's servant says, now, Naaman, you tripping. We came all the way down here. You've been seeking this healing. You brought gifts for the one that's going to heal you. You got a letter from the king. You have now come to this man. You're mad, first of all, because he didn't come to you and he asked you to come to him, but you need him. Now you're mad because he told you to go dip 7 times in the Jordan and you become clean. Man, quit tripping. Why don't you go dip? Tell your brother, your sister, take a dip. He goes and he dips 7 times. Watch this now. And I tell you, I'm done. The Bible says he comes up with skin like a baby. No leprosy. No nothing. He comes up clean. Tell your neighbor, it's not that hard. It's just not that hard. It's just not that hard to obey God. He doesn't ask us to do anything that he doesn't help us do. He doesn't ask us to do anything he doesn't help us do, which means this, whatever he asks us to do, we can do. Because we have a helper on the inside called the Holy Spirit. He dips Mike 7 times. He comes up clean. And the Bible says this, that what happens after he's clean is that he tries to offer a gift. I know I said I was going to be talking about gifts and about cash and money because we're getting ready to start a Bible study on how to manage your money. And the prophet is careful about receiving gifts. And he says the message of this lesson for you, Naaman, is this. You need to understand this and get this, that there is a God in Israel. Thank you, Lord. And that he's the only one true and living God. Here comes application. What have you been giving yourself to? What have you been giving your resources to? You don't think I'm in the invitation, but I am. What have you been giving yourself to in terms of your time, your talent, your treasure, your strength, your energy, your enthusiasm? Here's the second question. Have you received any dividend? Any return on investment inside. I was going to wear a three-piece today, but I didn't vest that which holds together like a girdle. Suffix meant. Have you received any return on that investment? Whatever God asks you to do in order to make you whole, do it. If he says wash in the Jordan, you find you a Jordan and you wash in it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. If he tells you to dip seven times, don't stop at six. Go to the seventh. Why? We used to sing a song when I was a boy, say 99 and a half. Come on, Sheila. You know that, right? No, it won't do. It won't do. Why, Sheila? Oh, no, it won't do. It won't do. It won't do. Oh, no, it won't. Sheila, you got to walk right. It won't do. Oh, no, it won't do. You got to talk right. It won't do. Why? Because 99 and a half won't do. I don't know who you are. I'm done. I want to say this to you. I started with that song. Here I am, there you are. We've been sitting here for so long. You and I touching each other's lives, wondering if we should get it on. Should I just walk away with nothing to say or take a chance on romance? So girl, tell me. That's the fellow rapping there, Mike. Girl, tell me, where do we go from here? Let me tell you the conclusion. The couple get it together. They get it on. They move forward. They move fast. They move in faith. You know where we go from here? We go from a society that's sick to a hill where there's healing. And that hill where there's healing, I'm going to close on like this. And you know the hill, but I ain't said this in a while. I've been there top of it twice. G-O-L-G-O-T-H-A. Some of us call it C-A-L-V-A-R-Y. Golgotha. Calvary. Why do they call it that? Golgotha. They call it the place of a skull. When you look at it from across the street, you can see, y'all have seen formations in rock and stone and hills, Gary and Susan. And it looks like you can see two eyes and a nose. Here's the irony of that. Come close. I'm going to lose Deanna on this. What was it? Oh, no. Da, da, da. You don't know what you got till it's gone. We pave paradise and put in a parking lot. Ooh, bop, bop, bop. Y'all know that song. Right across from Golgotha is a bus station. I think it's like a Greyhound bus station. And I thought to myself, it's a sacred location. We go, we visit the empty tomb. We have communion at the empty tomb. People are crying. I've been inside the tomb of Jesus. I've been inside it twice. You can go in the tomb. Now, once you go past a certain point, there's a gate there, Mike. You can't go past that gate. If you do, they're going to come get you, Mike. They're going to take you to jail. They're going to come get you. But next to Calvary is a bus station. Maybe we've mixed the holy with the human, become too close, and we no longer value it the way we should. Maybe the sacred and the secular have been made into a type of sandwich that no longer has the strength and the power, the influence that it should have. We were talking yesterday. A couple from church took Fine and I to dinner last night. Thank you, E. Thank you, G. Went to dinner last night. Went to a restaurant called Brio. Y'all, some of y'all been to Brio. Santan Mall last night. And toward the end of the conversation, we were so shocked and surprised, so kind what they did. I mean, they hooked that thing up. They hooked it up. I said, we meet you over there. No, just, we're going to come out and pick you up. Well, they picked us up and had flowers in the back seat, and then had two boxes of candy, had two glasses, gave Tiffany flowers, gave me a handshake. No, I'm just joking. They had it all hooked up. I'm totally joking. I had to get something in there because I'm getting heavy on you. And y'all don't know that I am a major crier. I think about something for 5 seconds. I don't know if it's menopause, not menopause. I don't know if it's menopause. I've been a crier for some years now. And I've been a crier, God, some, because for the first easily 25 years I don't think I cried from boyhood till I was about 40-some years old. Because you can just keep going, keep going, keep going, and then you never process. And then somebody just says hello, and you just start crying. You don't know what you're crying about. You just start crying. So anyway, last night, it was wonderful. Here's the watering down piece. Here's the application. Y'all know I've stopped preaching, and now I'm preaching still. Somebody said, Pastor, why do you do that? Because some people need the end as much as the beginning or the middle. We're there, we're sitting down, we're talking, and the conversation goes to food, and Fawn says, I'm going to have a tiramisu. She loves tiramisu. I start talking about sweets. I start talking about pinwheel cookies. Sheila, talk to your brother, Sheila. Pinwheels and other candies. And then the conversation went to how nothing tastes the way it used to. Anybody here remember Hostess? Remember a Twinkie back in the day? And now you could leave a Twinkie out in the year 2092, it'll still be on the shelf without having dissipated. The cream doesn't taste the same. The chocolate doesn't taste the same. Nothing is the same because they've mixed some things. What they've done is they've watered down some things. What they've done is they no longer use the same quality ingredient that they used before. The price has gone up. Manufacturing costs have gone down. And then our stomachs are upset after we consume that which was never meant to be consumed by a human body. There's a merging and a mixing. That's where I'm trying to go. A melding of the sacred with the secular. You say, Pastor, desserts aren't sacred. Well, it depends on who you are. To some folks, desserts are sacred. Calvary bus station. Whoever you are, wherever you're at, if you want to leave the bus station and come to the cross, I offer Christ to you the hope of glory. You don't have to join this church. You need to join this church if you don't have one. And the Lord leads you. You need to join this church. I'd love to be your pastor. Let me make a confession to you. And I'm done. Our church is not perfect. Shock. I know I just shocked you. It's not perfect because we have people in it. And the first most imperfect person is the one you're looking at. The P-O-I-M-E-N, the P-A-S-T-O-R, the U-N-D-E-R-S-H-E-P-H-E-R-D. The chief, S-E-R-V-A-N-T, the doulas, not doulas in that sense, but slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you say, Pastor, I'm not going to join church. I'm not going to join Jesus because the church is full of hypocrites. Yep, you're right. Well, we're hypocrites that have hope in the high God. And we're hypocritical in this, that we are sometimes up and sometimes down, but we're trying. We have a community. You're not going to find any perfect church with people. Now, as soon as you find one with people, then call me. Because every person comes with their own flaws. Every person. The baby born 3-2-1 right there. Babies were born 3-2-1. Another baby was born. All over the world, they're imperfect. The Bible says we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But God saves us in spite of us. Pastor, how do I get saved? Jesus, come into my life, save me. I recognize that you're the Savior, that you're the Son of God. I'm asking you to be my Savior and my Lord and my Savior. Because he's Lord of all, Mike, or he's not Lord at all. Pastor, I'm already saved, and I want to become part of the church family. We had two people join church 2 Sundays ago. I'd love to have some others join.